Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Tafwai. We are in the eighth day of the Gaza-Israel conflict. So far, over 150 Palestinians have been killed. Israel has suffered seven casualties, including a number of Israeli soldiers. Now, ceasefire was finally announced in Egypt. An Egyptian plan for a ceasefire, Palestinian resistance groups and Israel have said that they agree to it. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has told U.S. President Obama he is ready to give a ceasefire a chance. The question, will this ceasefire hold? Has Israel given in to the Palestinian firepower for agreeing to the truce, not fulfilling its objectives in this military adventurism? There's lots of questions to be addressed, and we will do so momentarily with our guests in this edition of the News Analysis. Let me introduce them. We have filmmaker and activist Harry Fear, who joins us from the Gaza Strip. We have author and Islamic studies expert Kevin Barrett joining us from Madison, and Middle East analyst Kenneth Katzman, who joins us on the phone from Washington. I'd like to welcome all our guests. Let me first start with our guest in Washington, Kenneth Katzman. Kenneth Katzman, there's a ceasefire truce that has been announced. I'm sure you're aware of that. Tell us, did Israel achieve its objectives, or is this a result of Israel being defeated in what they began 8 days ago?
Well, I think, first let me say I'm speaking in a personal capacity. I'm not speaking official capacity on the show. I think it's yet to be determined. I don't think we've seen the details. It's only a ceasefire right now. It's not a permanent agreement. I think there's a lot yet to be negotiated. But I think Hamas may achieve some of its objectives. I think Hamas calculated that the way to achieve an easing of the embargo and the siege or the restrictions is to precipitate some action, some fighting, and then the mediators would step in and make Israel condition of a settlement, ease up on the restrictions. And so I think it's a deliberate strategy that Hamas calculated, and maybe they might succeed with that, yes.
Well, let's find out what has transpired, which is still ongoing. And Harry Fear, you're in the Gaza Strip. You know, when we look at the ratio of Palestinian fighters killed versus civilians, you know, it's really interesting because some are saying, disproportionate use? Why is Israel using that disproportionate use? And we're looking at a death toll that has occurred, 150 Palestinians versus over 1,200 civilians injured, mostly women and children. You could perhaps tell us more about that compared to the seven that have been killed by Israel. And of course, Israel says that there's an address for every one of these missiles that have been targeted in the Gaza Strip, and these are the stats that they have to show for it. All these civilians that have been killed, not to mention the ones that have been injured.
Well, to be honest with you, what's happened to the Palestinian people can only be explained by the following idea, which is that Israel treats the Palestinians as if they are not human beings. Because, as you said, there have been hundreds of Palestinians injured. You know, they have bits of children with shrapnel embedded in their stomachs, toxic shrapnel. Israel has used white phosphorus. That was confirmed in the last couple of days. Israel has been bombing the Gaza Strip with land, sea and air attacks consistently for over a week now. And the Palestinians suffer from this state terrorism. This is the only rational language to use for it. And it's very difficult to explain in any rational way the Israeli position, other than saying Israel thinks the Palestinians are not human beings. That is the only requisite idea to explain why Israel will use this force on a largely defenseless third world population here in Gaza.
Kevin Barrett, we need to expand on this more. We can't sweep this under the rug regarding what has happened to these people in in Gaza, these Palestinians who were killed, some women, some children, many below the age of five. This is what the Israeli military spokesman has said. Targets are exact. Every Israeli missile has an address. But if you recall, there was a house in which 11 civilians of the same family were killed. Among the 11 dead were four small children, five women, including an 80-year-old. And when asked about the presence of a Palestinian fighter, it could not be verified. What can be done in terms of what has occurred regarding these deaths and these injuries on Israel?
Well, of course, what needs to be done is for the international community to stand up for the United Nations resolutions calling for the right of return of all Palestinian ethnic cleansing victims, or we might even say genocide victims, to their homes and properties in occupied Palestine, and the payment of full restitution for their many, many years of suffering. That's what needs to happen, and that's what eventually will happen. But as we are, as we stand today, I agree with the first guest, Kenneth in Washington, that this is about a victory for Gaza and for the Palestinian people. And I agree with our other guest as well that obviously Israel was targeting civilians, intentionally, brutally murdering, slaughtering, wounding innocent men, women, and many, many children. And the question becomes, how do we make sense of all this? Well, the guest in Washington, Kenneth, is absolutely wrong in claiming that this was intended by Hamas, that somehow Hamas tricked the Israelis into slaughtering these hundreds of Palestinian civilians. In fact, the problem is that Netanyahu, the current leader of Israel, is a psychotic. This man is absolutely bent on starting a war with Iran, a large-scale Middle East war. I believe that he and his people want to finish the ethnic cleansing of Palestine under the cover of the fog of war. And they were desperate to get that full-scale Middle East war started. They did everything they could to get Mitt Romney elected president of the United States. Mitt Romney is a tool of the, let's call it the Zionist criminal cartel, the drug-smuggling Zionist criminal cartel that's associated with Netanyahu. It's also associated with blowing up the Twin Towers on 9/11, but let's not go there now. In any case, Netanyahu needs that big Middle East war not only to finish the ethnic cleansing of Palestine, but also to cover his tracks and the tracks of the other neoconservative Zionists on 9/11. And to continue the larger Israeli strategy that they've been pursuing for the entire 50-plus years of their existence of living by the sword before they eventually die by the sword. So this irrational strike against Gaza was purely and simply the decision of Netanyahu and his people. He was taking out his frustrations on the people of Gaza for his inability to attack Iran, thanks to Obama's victory. And it was, as both guests agree, completely irrational from a strategic perspective. But Netanyahu and his people are not rational actors. They are, as I said, psychotics. They are psychopaths. They are lashing out and slaughtering people for no particular strategic reason. And they need to be removed from power as soon as possible.
Kenneth Katzman, do you agree there?
I really am not going to debate vitriol like that, calling Netanyahu a psychotic, saying that they're deliberately attacking civilians. No international leader I've heard from is using language like this.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to jump in then. Kenneth Katzman, tell us if this is not consequential for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, if you were to make sense out of what has been achieved so far, what has been achieved or not achieved based on objectives that perhaps Netanyahu may have had, many pointing to the upcoming elections, for example?
Well, I don't think he had any. Let's not forget, he didn't start this. I mean, he didn't start the rockets. Now, we can argue that perhaps he didn't move on easing the restrictions. And what I was arguing before is that Hamas is trying to get an easing of restrictions, and to do that, they have to get other players involved, the region, the United States, and so that tends to come after a confrontation. And so that's what gets them easing the restrictions. But Netanyahu didn't start this. I don't particularly think it necessarily helped him in the election that this happened. I think what the outcome of this, though, is I think the Iron Dome concept is very much being validated. I think it's probably going to be more money and attention put into the Iron Dome and like-minded systems, which are basically defensive systems. The Israelis don't have to injure a single Palestinian if they have the Iron Dome. It protects them from rockets and missiles, and it's a very, very successful concept. But I don't see any evidence that the Israelis are deliberately targeting innocent civilians. I mean, There have been certain Palestinian militants that have been killed, and then it's been shown that indeed these militants were in the location that the Israelis were firing on. They had very precise intelligence. And, you know, the Hamas tends to hide among civilians so that they can show that civilians are being killed and have big pressure on Israel to stop firing. This is how they operate. So I don't see that Israel started this, intended this, or in any way is benefiting politically from this.
Well, you talk about the fighters being killed. We have six versus 150 Palestinians killed, Kenneth Gassman, over 1,200 civilians injured. I'm going to read this again. Women and children amongst them, some of them in critical conditions, probably dying as we speak. Perhaps a guest of Harry Fear can expand more on that for us. And in addition, just because of lack of time, Harry Fear, you know, you are a filmmaker. It's interesting that Israel comes out and has this internet blitz via Twitter, all the social networking websites, etc. And at the same time, it targets the media building that houses different news organizations from around the world, the latest which claimed the life of a toddler.
That's right. Israel has been in the last few days targeting journalists. Three have been killed so far, and various media workers and support workers of media organizations, local media organizations here in Gaza, have also been specifically targeted, deliberately targeted, admitted by Israel. Israel has taken two of Palestine's biggest TV companies and said they're actually not TV companies. They're associated with Hamas, so anyone that works for them is actually no longer a civilian and is subject to being targeted as a terrorist or a terrorist supporter. So we've seen the targeted assassination of two cameramen that work for one of these two principal channels here in Gaza only in the last couple of days. We've seen children coming in, as you alluded to earlier, the Al-Dalou massacre, which occurred at the weekend. Four children were killed. Four women were killed. Pregnant women have been killed. You know, dozens of elderly men have been killed. Dozens of children have been killed. And it's very difficult to understand what Israel expects the Palestinian people to do when it inflicts this sort of collateral damage on this civilian population.
Let's expand Kevin Barrett on some of the statements that was made at that press conference. First of all, when we look at what the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has said, but overall the U.S. posturing. First of all, she said the ceasefire deal between Israel and Palestinians had come at a crucial time for countries of the Middle East. Why would she say that? I mean, are we looking ultimately at the fact that they are placing all that weight on Egypt as being the country that they can work to keep as an ally? In terms of somewhat maintaining the status quo when Mubarak was there?
Well, yes, I think that here once again we see another clear instance where U.S. interests and Israeli interests, as they're being defined by the current psychotic Israeli government, are absolutely at loggerheads. They are completely opposed. The U.S. has an interest in stability in the Middle East so that it can do business with the countries that are producing energy. That is the U.S. interest and the only U.S. interest in the Middle East. The Israeli Zionist Likudnik neocon regime that has seized power in Tel Aviv, as well as has quite a bit of power here in the occupied USA, has a very, very different interest. Their interest is in destabilizing the Middle East and making it more amenable to Zionist expansion and domination. This is a country that has vastly exceeded the borders that were not awarded to it by the United Nations in 1948. That was simply an advisory vote by the General Assembly. It has no force of law. This is not a legal country. The Zionist entity in occupied Palestine is not a legal country. And the only way it can continue to thrive in the minds of its crazy leaders is to keep butchering Palestinians, continuing continuing the genocide and continuing to steal more and more land. That's why it won't even define its borders. Israel is not an official U.S. ally. You can check that fact anywhere you want. And the reason it's not an official U.S. ally is that Israel refuses to declare its borders because it wants to keep stealing more and more land and murdering more and more people until it ends up with Greater Israel, everything between the Nile and the Euphrates. That is the quote-unquote Israeli interest of the lunatics in Tel Aviv. And the Iron Dome, you're telling me that that's a defensive system? Give me a break. This phrase Iron Dome came from the Iron Wall of Jabotinsky, the godfather of Zionist genocide, the man who wanted to exterminate all of the Palestinian people. And the so-called Iron Wall, what that's really about, and this apartheid wall that's stealing even more Palestinian land, crowding them onto less than 15% of their land, is once again an offensive system that is designed to dismember Palestine and complete the ethnic cleansing and genocide of the people of Palestine. And the U.S. interest does not support this, and that's why I'm hoping that President Obama, who has a blood feud going with Netanyahu, who hates Netanyahu's guts, considers him a liar, as he said on television when he pretended that he didn't know his microphone was on, will force Israel to finally make peace with its neighbors.
Well, Kenneth Katzman, our guest, Kevin Barrett, I think ultimately is pointing towards what needs to be done. This can't be something that is pushed down the list of the U.S. President Barack Obama, as he has done, because we haven't seen any movement towards this peace, so-called peace process, whatever form it's in right now. I'm not too sure. Maybe you can tell us how much longer is the U.S. going to push this to the side, not recognize the rights of Palestinians, something that needs to be worked out. When are we going to see that picture come that coming into the picture?
Well, what I've seen over the past 20 years is actually Israel withdrawing from territory. So I think there's a clear refutation of Mr. Barrett's narrative that Israel is expanding, ever expanding. Actually, it's been giving up territory. I do remember it gave up the Sinai, withdrew, has an agreement with Egypt, gave up land in Jordan, has a treaty with Jordan. It withdrew from a security zone in Lebanon and is hoping for a stable border there. It's withdrawn from Gaza in 2005. You know, obviously left some restrictions in place that need to be discussed, but the West Bank, you know, when there's an agreement between the Palestinians and Israel, the United States certainly, everybody expects, has called for a two-state solution, certainly recognize a state of Palestine once there is an agreement. I don't think that there's any dispute or any debate about that. So the idea that the U.S. does not recognize Palestinian rights, I think, is clearly refuted. You know, there are some disagreements with Netanyahu over Iran, over prioritizing the talks with Abbas and the Palestinians, obviously, but Abbas has a very difficult road to hoe. I mean, he does not control the Gaza Strip. That's probably where we need to start. A good way to start here probably would be, you know, to have unity between the West Bank and the Gaza Strip so that the Palestinians can negotiate as one unified set of negotiators. So it's that's probably what needs to happen, and then perhaps the U.S. can put more pressure on Netanyahu to re-engage and get back to a roadmap for a final status agreement. But this vitriol that the Israelis are committing genocide, this is probably not helpful, and this is not the kind of language that's used here in Washington among diplomats, because nobody agrees with it.
Hi, Fear. Since this is day 8, and again, we're seeing casualties also mount on the Palestinian side, not to mention on the Israeli side, but since you're in Gaza, again, to get a clear idea of what has occurred and perhaps is going to continue until the ceasefire hour comes upon us, there have been reports that some dwellings have been hit on numerous occasions. If you can tell us more about some of the different experiences that you have witnessed there of the different violence taking place via the air raids, not to mention the shelling that has come from the sea.
Well, you may have seen my head turn and my head rise in the last few moments. That's as bombs rain down around this area that I'm in what's meant to be the safest part of the Gaza Strip, in West Gaza City by the Mediterranean Sea, in the 1 kilometre surrounding me. Bombs have been rained down on Gaza just in the last few moments. Well, as I said, we've seen the Al-Dulu family massacre, we've seen the Al-Azam family massacre, we've seen the Al-Hijazi family massacre. I went to the morgue a few days ago and saw handfuls of children in the morgue with their parents grieving for these children. And what was interesting was to see the resilience in the parents to an extent, political resilience, if you will, that they will not give up their rights as Palestinians. They will not give up their fight for their rights and for justice for their people. And we saw that last night when Israel ordered thousands of Palestinians to evacuate from their homes on the east side of the Gaza Strip, bordering with Israel, and many Palestinians refusing to heed that order. Many people were citing as the reason they will not let another Nakba, they will not let another action of displacement be forced upon them, that they would rather die in their homes, with honour, some people have said, than to be driven out on the order and command of Israeli might. So Palestinians have suffered unimaginable, inhumane grief over these last few days. But there is a reunification to an extent between Fatah and Hamas. There is a real unified civil support here in Gaza for the resistance groups, which have done such a strong job in repelling Israeli aggression. That's according to various and most Palestinians here. Most Palestinians here support the resistance, support their operations and their ability to deter Israel from continuing to pound the strip even harder and harder. And I think it's now on the journalistic and historical record that over these last few days the resistance has deterred certainly an Israeli ground invasion, if not more airstrikes and more pounding of the Gaza Strip, which has been constant. It hasn't lulled for more than 90 minutes the whole 8 days. It's been land, sea and air. And every single person in the Gaza Strip, including internationals, have suffered some sort of psychological cost as a result of that state terrorism.
Okay, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Let me thank our guests, filmmaker and activist Harry Fear from Gaza. Thank you. Author and Islamic studies expert Kevin Barrett from Madison. And Middle East analyst Kenneth Katzman. Hope to see you on the image screen of the TV when we speak to you there from Washington. And thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. From Mikhail Tahweh and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.